All right. Good morning. I want to start this morning. I've been feeling extra tired, doing a lot of things right now, coaching my kids' soccer, and school's all back in session, and life just kind of hits. But I took a little walk this morning around the church, and I was praying for everybody in this room, praying for the service, and I was listening to the song that said, you have never been more loved than you are right now, right? The Gyro song by Maverick City. And I told my wife this morning, I was like, I don't know what direction this service is going to go. Like, I don't know where we're going to end up this morning, but I know where we're going to start. I just wanted to sit in that at the beginning of the service and tell each of you, you've never been more loved than you are right now. Like, you've never been more loved than you are right now. And we could go around the room and I could tell you that individually. Woody, you've never been more loved than you are right now. Right? Like, I'm just going to move on. I can't do it, man. I don't know why I'm such a softy. His love is extravagant. His love is incredible. His love is what should motivate us in all that we do. It's always about his love. His love for us is what drives who we are, what drives, if you are a believer in Jesus, his love is what motivates us to breathe a breath of life every morning and to go to work and be an example of love to others, to love our children, to love our spouses, to love our friends and our families, and to love our enemies. Love is what drives all these things. And I've been learning a lot of things as a pastor, not being in a pastoral role, but preaching and being an overseer here. And I keep thinking about the last time that I got to lead the service here, when a lot of us went up to Idaho for the conference, and there was just a small group of us that was remaining here. And it was one of my favorite services that I've ever been a part of. And the more I analyze it, the more I think about it, it's not because of anything that I said. It's not because of anything that I did. It's not my role. It was God. It was God and his great love for you and his voice speaking to you. And if you weren't here, I'm sorry that you missed it, but I'm hoping that each time that we come together, we can get to a place where it is God speaking to you. If you were here, we simply went through some time of prayer where we prayed through some psalms and we went through an exercise to picture ourselves just sitting next to God, next to Jesus, and allowing him to speak words of life into us. In the quiet and stillness of the room, in the quiet and stillness of our heart, we allowed God to speak to us. That's the beautiful thing about what we believe, is we don't have to have a mediator to go speak to God. Our mediator is Jesus. And so each one of us in this room has the special ability to speak directly to God through Jesus. And so I'm no different than you are. My conversations and my communication with God is no different than the communication that you can have, that you are able to have when you sit alone in silence and listen and ask God to speak to you. His voice is speaking to you. It doesn't have to come through me. It doesn't have to come through a pope. It doesn't have to come from Stephen Cole. Right? As good as Stephen is, he's just another man. And as not so good as I am, I'm just another man. And my voice is no different than any other brother or sister who communicates with God. And so I want to encourage us to find those places where we sit in the silence and we bask in the love of God and we listen for his voice to speak to us. One way to do that is through prayer. Another way to do that is simply through nature and going out and looking at the stars or looking at waterfalls or rivers or being alone in his creation. The way that we're going to do that this morning is by getting into the Word of God. And one of our core values here at Northgate is worship and the Word, because we value the Word. We value that we have a written Word. We can hear, we can sit in prayer and listen for that individualized, special Word directly to us, but that Word that God's going to speak to us is never going to alter or differ from this Word that he's already given to us. And so I want the Bible to blow our minds again. I want us to read it with that that supernatural mindset, with that love for Jesus, where when we're sitting in prayer and we're listening for an individualized Word directly for us, I want us to come and approach the Word of God in the same way, where we can realize that Jesus' voice is speaking directly to us. Yes, it's got context to it, and we want to read the context, where it was written, why it was written, who it was written to, and all the narrative that's surrounding it, right? But it's also written to us as believers. It's written for a specific purpose in mind, to edify us, to grow us, to challenge us, to encourage us, and everything else in between. So I do, I want to approach the Word of God in reverence this morning and in prayer and ask that he would speak to us. So if you guys would, go ahead and just bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father God, we gather as a church this morning, each of us unique members of the body of Christ, each of us having specific giftings and roles, each of us having unique relationships with you, hearing different things from you about specific things in our lives. God, for those of us in this room that have confessed you as our Lord and Savior, I pray that you would speak words of edification, words of challenging words to us, God, words of love, words of affirmation. God, I pray that we would know the salvation that we have received, and I pray that we would walk in holiness as a result of that. And if there is anybody in this room who hasn't known you, who hasn't heard your voice, God, I pray that they would hear the message of salvation, of what you have offered us, what you have given us, what you have called us into, and be challenged to take a step of faith, to walk in the light of Christ, and to respond by living a life of holiness set apart for him. We pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. Before we get into this, we typically do two different styles of preaching when we're setting what our sermon calendar is going to be like. Some of them are topical, where we're looking at certain topics throughout the Bible. It could be like stewardship or thankfulness or any of those terms that you might want to throw out there. There's things that you could look at throughout the Bible that hit on those things. The other way is expository preaching, and that's where we're going to be for the next 5 weeks. We've been doing a lot of topical preaching, and we want to rest in the Word and look at the book of 1 Peter, okay, in depth, going through it chapter by chapter. So I'm kicking it off this week, giving you sort of the introduction to Pistol Pete, right? That's what we're calling it, Pistol Pete, 1 Peter. And I wanted to give you some background on who Peter was, okay? Peter, and a lot of you guys have probably heard the name Peter, his Arabic name was Kephas, And when translated to Greek, it was Petros, which means rock, or Peter, as we translate it into English. And Petros was significant when Jesus had proclaimed to Peter that on this rock I will build my church. It was sort of a play on words that Peter, being the rock, and Peter, a rock, was the leader of the apostolic group of early Christian believers who preached a lot. He was an influential man, like one, probably the most influential man. Him and Paul are known really well for being apostolic in nature, leading and preaching. Paul more of the missionary type, Peter more of the pastor type. Okay, Peter's name is mentioned in the gospel more than any other name except the name of Jesus. Did you know that? I didn't know that either. I thought that was kind of cool. He speaks throughout the gospels, and Jesus spoke more to Peter than to any other individual, like directly to Peter from what we see in the gospels. And so if you know a little bit about Jesus, he had 12 really good friends, the disciples, and of those 12, he had three better friends. They're like best friends, Peter, James, and John. Peter was one of them. All right, I was trying to think of somebody who Peter reminds me of in today, and I thought of my best friend, Phil. He really is, this term's used a lot for Peter, ready, fire, aim, right? He's the kind of guy, I better ask for forgiveness than permission. He would strike first and think about the repercussions later, right? We see him doing that kind of stuff all throughout the New Testament. This one's kind of fun. Jesus rebuked Peter more than any other disciple, right? He's that friend of Jesus who he had to keep telling him, bro, stop. Like, just stop, man. Peter was the only disciple who dared to rebuke Jesus back. I don't know if you can imagine that, but Jesus, stop. I mean, right? That was kind of Peter. Peter confessed Jesus more boldly and accurately than any other disciple. He was the eccentric one. He was the one who was like, absolutely, Jesus, let's go. You know, before he could think about where he's going, he's going. Peter denied Jesus more forcefully and publicly than any other disciple. So just as much as he was like, I'm all on board, when he was faced with something hard, he was like, am I really? And we know of the story where he denied Jesus three times. Jesus praised Peter more than any other disciple. As we look throughout the Gospels, Jesus addressed Peter as Satan alone among the disciples. Have you guys ever had a friend who's like hard to talk to? And it's, but at the same time, he's the one or she's the one that you're willing to go up to and say, hey, I'm noticing this in your life and you kind of need to fix it. At the same time, they're able to call it out in you. That's the kind of friend that Peter was, right? Here's a few stories throughout the New Testament. When Jesus woke up early in the morning to pray before the sun came up, this is Mark 1:35 through 39, Simon Peter led the other disciples on a hunt to find Jesus and tell them what he should do, right? You see, we see Simon Peter looking for Jesus. Peter puts his net out at the direction of Jesus to bring a massive catch of fish. He obeyed Jesus. He followed Jesus, right? He was the one that was sent out on a unique missions trip in Matthew 10. And then this is the one that I think he's probably most famous for that I look to a lot of times is in Matthew chapter 14, when Peter was the one who stepped out of the boat during the raging storm and walked on water with Jesus, right? This guy, he knew Jesus well. He knew him real well. He was the one who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He recognized who Jesus was and proclaimed his messianic relationship with God. Peter saw Jesus transfigured in glory with Moses and Elijah in Matthew chapter 17. He was one of the three that Jesus said, hey, guys, come on, I got a special treat for you. And they went up and saw Jesus transfigured before them. Peter was the one who asked Jesus how many times he should forgive a brother that sins against us, quoting the high number of seven times in Matthew chapter 18. And Peter was the one who asked Jesus after the encounter with the rich young ruler what the disciples would receive for giving everything up to follow Jesus. Okay. Peter was the one who cut off the right ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. There's the ready, fire, aim, right? They're coming to arrest Jesus and slices the guy's ear off, and Jesus is like, whoa, let me put that back on for you, right? Peter was the one who received a personal visit from the resurrected Jesus on the day of the resurrection in Luke chapter 24. And then in John chapter 21, Peter received a public restoration of Jesus in front of the other disciples after the resurrection of Jesus, okay? So all of that to kind of just give you some background. This guy, Peter, he knew Jesus, and he knew him really well. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, he starts by saying, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And just so you guys know, 1 Peter, it's a letter that is written to who he addresses here in this first part of the letter. And the book itself, they believe, was written by, it's called an amanuensis, right? A guy who was writing, scribing for Peter as he spoke to him. Okay, his name was Silvanus. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he's establishing his authority, right? Which he probably didn't really need to do because most people knew who he was. And he addresses God's elect. Okay, he says, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of the Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Okay. So he's writing this book to his brothers who have been scattered throughout. And if we look at these cities, they are spread throughout what we call modern-day Turkey. Okay, there's like four or five cities here that represent or that used to be called these names. They're called different names now, but they're most of them are along the western seaboard of Turkey. And he writes it as a circulatory letter, meaning they would send this letter out and they would read it in the church in that city, and then the carrier would take it to the next church and he'd read it to that city, he'd carry it and take it to the next city, and he'd read it to that church in that city. Okay. Now, what he writes in this book is where it gets good. But I want to play a little game before we get into that, okay? Have you guys ever played, I played this with my in-laws last week. It was pretty fun. It's a game called Blank Slides. Blank Slate. Blank Slate. Okay, all right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold up a word. This is an example, right? And you have to think of a word that fills in the blank. All right. So don't say it out loud yet. Sorry. I should have prefaced that. Okay. The goal is to get a match with one other person. One other person. If more than one person gets a match, you get 1 point. So if like 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 people say it, you get 1 point. But if only one other person gets it, you get 3 points. Okay. And if nobody else gets it, you get 0 points. So you want to be unique, but you don't want to be too unique, right? And you're trying to guess people that one other person in the room might get this, okay? And this is kind of cool with a large group of people because there could be a lot of different answers. So let's try. I'm going to give you guys just a couple seconds. You've been thinking about it now. So if you got the word in your head, all right, we're not going to write it down on the game. You actually write it down, but think about it, okay? All right, and this is going on the honor system here. Nancy, you already said what's up. Okay. How many other people thought what's up first? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So you guys all would get 1 point. What other ones are out there? Good. What's good? Who thought what's good? Just the two of you? All right. You guys got 3 points. Okay. What's another one? Happening. What's happening? Or happening? Happening? No one else? 1, 2, 3. Hey. 3 people? Okay, so you guys get a point. Anybody else? What's bad? Oh, what's that? Anybody think what's that? 2, 3, 4? Okay. Any other ones? What's new? You thought what's new? Oh, good. 3 points. 3 points. Yeah, you got 1 point because a bunch of people thought what's up. Okay. All right. Keep track of your points. Keep track of your points. Did you guys have a different one, a unique one? What's cracking? What's crack-a-lacking? No? Sorry, KB. No points for you. What's app? Oh, she did too. Hey. See, you never know. You got to throw it out there sometimes. Maybe you get someone. All right, next one. Next one. Deer. Deer. Okay. All right, let's hear him. Dear so-and-so. Dear John. Ooh, dear John is a popular one. Dear Abby. Oh, all right. Ed, I think that puts you in first. Dear Theodosia. Actually, two people, that's pretty good. Is that where Thea got her name? Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else? Throw it out there. Somebody else might have said it. Dear what? Lord? Dear Lord. You too? Oh, you guys. I know who my spiritual ones are. That was good. Dear Prudence? I thought you already said Theodora. Oh, Jeremy's just throwing them out there. I'll get as many points as I can. Okay. Good, good. Keep track of your points. Dorothy, did you have one? Oh, dear John. Okay, you got one. All right. Which, funny. John. Okay. John. Actually, I was going to put Johnny, but John works too. Couple seconds. Think about it. Okay, let's hear him. John Deere. I thought that'd be a popular one. Just three? 316? John Jacob? Jingleheimer Schmidt? Just the two of you again? I think that's a winner right there. Ed has three unique ones, or three pairs. Good job, Ed. Did you have one? Oh, Jingleheimer Schmidt. One word. Jingleheimer Schmidt's one word, right? John the Baptist? Anybody? John Doe? John Smith? There's a lot of them, huh? John Kennedy? John Adams? Oh, Adams. Of course, John Adams. All right, John Wick. Okay, we're going to go to the last one here, and this is where I'm kind of going to try to make my point for this morning. Salvation. Salvation. What do you follow salvation with? Put it up there so everybody can see it. I don't have to hold this. Salvation. All right, let's hear him. Saved? Saves. Salvation saves. Okay. Just period? Anybody else just put period on there? Did you? Okay. All right, good. Cost. Salvation is. Good. Prayer. Salvation prayer. Oh, okay. Good. Salvation army. That's a popular one. Good, good. Any other unique ones you guys want to throw out there? No? Okay. These are the three that I think Peter really speaks to. The first one here is salvation by, okay? Salvation by. I'm going to read a little section of Scripture here. And I think there's two sections to 1 Peter. The first part, we talk about salvation, okay? Then we talk about holiness as a result of the salvation. So, salvation by says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay. Salvation is by Jesus. Okay. We receive salvation by the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. Okay. Salvation is by his abundant mercy. We receive salvation by the work of Jesus, as it says in here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. His mercy is what has given us salvation. Our response to that is praise. Praise be to the Lord, our God and Father, Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Salvation is by the mercy of Jesus. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then the second one, salvation to. Salvation to. Okay. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Salvation is into the inheritance, right, that will never spoil or perish or fade. I don't know if we fully grasp this sometimes. We receive salvation. When we receive salvation, we are receiving an inheritance that is greater than anything we can ever imagine. It will never perish, it'll never fade, it'll never spoil. Okay? It is into the inheritance that Jesus gave to us. And then the last one is through. Okay? Through verses 7 through 9. Actually, I forgot to put these up here. Okay? 6 through 9. Let's read it again. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay, salvation is through faith in Christ. So we receive that salvation through faith in Christ. So we have salvation by his abundant mercy, salvation to an inheritance, and salvation through faith in Christ. And that salvation that is through faith in Christ guarantees us persecution and trials. It's not like when we receive Jesus, we're getting the Superman where we're going to be guarded from all the trials and persecutions of this world. We're receiving an inheritance that's promised to us in the end when we have completed this life. We get to taste and see part of it now. And as we work out our life in sanctification until the end, in glory, we will see the receipt of the inheritance that Jesus has promised us. Now, I'm going to try to fly through this last part because I knew that I had way more content than for the 35 minutes that we had planned for. But I'm going to try to get through the rest of this chapter really fast. But I don't want to shortchange the Word of God. I'm going to read the rest of this chapter. And I want you guys to hear it. And I want you guys to let the Word sink into you. And I'm not going to give much more commentary on that. But I want you to hear it. Concerning this salvation. Hold on, let me put it up there in case you don't have your Bibles with you. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. I'm going to say that one more time. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word that was preached to you. It's not from me. It's not from man. This is God's word being preached to you. Love one another deeply from the heart. You're going to face trials and tribulations. You're going to face hard things in this life if you proclaim that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And I wanted to end by sharing a little story of this guy that I met in India. His name was Nitin Michael, right? And we were in New Delhi up on the northern part of India, and we had a pastor's conference where Indian pastors would travel from hundreds of miles away by foot to get to this conference so that they could hear the word of God being preached. And I remember sitting in the front row was a young man about 19 years old named Nitin Michael. And my pastor, the pastor that I was with, was getting ready to preach, and I was praying over in the corner, just praying for the service, and I remember looking at him, and written on his forehead was the word martyr. He had been marked. And he knew it. He knew it. And I was like, I gotta go talk to that guy. I see something on him. I saw it was in bold red letters, martyr. I was like, I got to hear his story. I got to sit with him. So I came over and I brought my Bible, which is, this is so cool. The Bible is written in languages, almost every language, not all of them yet, but if that's a passion of yours, I'm sure they'd love to have you. Almost in every language around the world, right? And I brought my Bible over to him. And I just sat down next to him, and I had Acts 1:8 pulled up in my Bible, and I just said, "Hey, look in your Bible, Acts 1:8." And he looked it up, and he was like, "You know, like that's me. When the power of the Spirit falls upon you, right?" He's like, "The power of the Spirit has fallen upon me." And then he pointed to these verses. Right? He started pulling out verses and he was showing them to me. And the verses that he was showing to me was, "Take joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials and persecutions of many kinds, because your brothers throughout the world are experiencing the same things." He knew that his life was marked for martyrdom, and he considered it pure joy. His life had been called to be separated from the world. He was called to be holy, therefore, as he was holy. Not so much in the moral sense of the word, but in the sense of, I've got to be called apart from this world so that I can represent Christ with my entire life. We sat and we shared scripture with each other back and forth for almost an hour. And the word of the Lord bond us together as brothers in Christ. My prayer for us this morning is that we would love one another deeply from the heart and love each other through the Word, washing each other daily with Scripture, because these are the words that He's given us. If you guys would go ahead and pray with me. Worship team, you can come forward. God, it's so good to just hear the Word that You have kept for us, that You have preserved for us, even though in 303 BC they tried to destroy the Word and eliminate all copies of the Bible. 25 years later, Constantine said, we need to expand the written Word of God. And it has endured for generation after generation after generation, so that we could have it here with us today, that we can hear what was written to the early church, to our early brothers and sisters who formed what we know today, that we can be a part of the elect, a part of the scattered, a part of the body of Christ. God, I pray that we would recognize the significance of our salvation, that we are saved by the mercy of God and saved into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, and saved through faith in Christ and through the trials and the persecutions of this life. So I pray, Lord, that we would walk in the holiness that You have called us to, and that we would love one another deeply as You have loved us. May the love that You have shown us empower us to love others deeply. God, we've never been more loved than we are right now. We thank You, Jesus. And in response to that, we lift our hearts in praise. I pray this in Your name. Amen.